So the thinking was to do dose-dense Abraxane. Now the question is, what do you do beyond that? And I did hear a little bit about health economics here. And one of the ideas was, how is dose-dense being given in this country, or how is it being given anywhere? So I'm going to ask people to vote. And dose-dense, as you know, came out with growth factor support in both the AC portion and the paclitaxel portion. And a lot of us, once we had long-acting Neulasta, pegfilgrastim, a lot of us made that adoption. But I would like to know, how many of you give dose-dense with growth factor for both AC and the taxol portion? How many of you do that routinely, if you put up your hand? And how many have learned that maybe you can omit the growth factor for the taxol portion? How many? So it looks like more people today are not really giving the Mark Citrin regimen. You're skipping the Neulasta. And the reason you're doing it, the same reason I'm doing it, is they can get their drug on day 15, no problem. They have an ANC of 1,000. And why give them the aches and pains of a growth factor? And there's some economic implications, which I think we all are very sensitive to. We don't want to bankrupt the system. We want to be able to take care of patients. So when we sat down and did this, we said, you know, maybe we can take a leap here and do a dose-dense regimen and see if we can avoid or omit the growth factor in the Abraxane portion. And there was a little bit of discussion because, you know, 260 is not 175. And if you give it 2 weeks, are you going to really run into problems? So what we did is we went on a small fishing trip, and we went through an IRB, though, and we wrote a protocol, and we treated about 30 patients. And one of the strengths of US Oncology is, you know, we're in the community, we see the patients, and they're there. And this is actually a pretty racy product right now, so people were kind of keen to try it. So we're able to treat 30 patients in about 2 months. You know, the day was coming in as the patients were coming in, and we had to make sure we didn't over-treat too many patients, treat more than 30, that's what I mean. So what we did is we, very simple design, again, keep it simple. This is sort of an NSAB principle. Keep it simple, only answer one question at a time. So we simply gave the AC with growth factor support, just like in Mark Citrin trial, and given every 2 weeks. And then at the Abraxane portion, we gave it every 2 weeks, and we used the 260 dose. And we did not give any pegfilgrastim, and then we saw what happened. And we treated 30 patients, and all 30 got through the AC. There was two that had dose delay, interestingly, and two actually had dose reduction. If you remember, if you develop fever and neutropenia, you have to dose reduce by 25%. But we're really kind of interesting with the Abraxane. In the Abraxane portion, we had nearly all the patients got through it. We had one patient who refused up front. This is when HER2 data came out, and she wanted to have something with Herceptin, so she went off study. And then we had two other patients that weren't able to complete. But in terms of the dose reduction question, we did have about a third of the patients had a dose delay. And then about a third of the patients had neurotoxicity. If you remember, one of the concerns about Abraxane was neurotoxicity. If it gets better into tumors, maybe it gets better into nerves. But like the phase 3 randomized trial, we also found that once you develop neurotoxicity, if you do a dose reduction, the neurotoxicity improved. And remember, it's only 4 cycles, not like in metastatic disease. So when we got done with the 4 cycles, the neurotoxicity has improved. And we're still looking at that data, but the majority of patients improved their grade in terms of neurotoxicity within a month. So that's sort of where we are. The issue now is, what do we do with this data? And one of the things I think we're going to do is actually look at the CLGB trial much more closely. If you remember that trial, it's a little interesting. They don't have a lot of data on everybody. They have a lot of data on the first 400, if you remember. So we're going to look at that patient who got sequenced, got the AC followed by Taxol, and look more closely. In the paper, they talk about a dose delay in terms of 31 patients. And whether that's 31 cycles or 31 patients, we need to find out. But one of the concerns is, if we really want to see if Abraxane is better than Taxol, given the way the Citrin trial was done, do we need to give growth factor with everybody? In terms of the neurotoxicity, the majority of patients are getting grade 2 toxicity, so that's some tingling effect in function, but able to do daily functions, so it's livable. Grade 3 is when you're having problems with daily function, and the majority of patients had grade 2, so the neurotoxicity doesn't look like a problem. The issue is whether we need to be concerned about dose delay, and that's sort of where we're at that point.